Good Wednesday afternoon, Indianapolis and Central Indiana. It's 4:30, and you're tuned to 91.9 FM WITT, the home of unpredictable music, and a couple of talk shows, including, well, a music show called Indiana Nocturne with my friend Russ Dodge. But this talk show is the Indy's Trusted Servant Show with yours truly, Danny O'Malley, Indy's Trusted Servant, every Wednesday at 4:30 on this station. What is Indy's Trusted Servant? Well, I do customer service training and keynote speaking about customer service. It's really all about the culture of the organization. I learned all of that at the hand of the culture building and customer service giving master, my late father, Joe O'Malley, from the age of, well, I don't know, 8 or 9 on. If you'd like to learn more about that, give me a call at 317-413-9062. What's the Indy's Trusted Servant Show Wednesdays at 4:30 on 91.9 FM? I like to describe it as lively, local, small biz and community talk where you can feel the pulse of Indy. And my guest today is on the community side of that issue. He is fellow Indianapolis Rotarian Aaron Story, and he runs a fairly new 5-year-old organization called Elevate Indianapolis. And he's going to tell you all about Elevate Indianapolis and how it serves inner city youth. Aaron, welcome to the Indy's Trusted Servant Show.
Hey, Danny. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate the chance to be with you all.
Well, it's great to have you. Before we get into Elevate Indianapolis specifically, tell us about Aaron's story and what brung you here.
Sure. Well, Hoosier my whole life, born and raised in Northern Indiana, born in Wabash, and graduated from Wawasee High School, and I've been in Indianapolis.
I was just at Lake Wawasee for a week. Well, just got back yesterday.
I spent a lot of time up there, and then about 20 years ago moved to Indianapolis, and have been 20-year resident here and live in the Near East Side, not too far from Cecina High School. And that's 4 kids, all public school kids, and all invested in our city.
Okay, and the ages of the kids?
Well, my oldest is 19. He's about to head off to Ball State. And my youngest is 11. And I've got a 13-year-old, 15-year-old.
Okay.
In between all IPS school kids, Purdue Poly, IPS CFI number 2.
Purdue Poly, great.
Near East Side High School, yep.
Great.
So we cover a lot of ground with 4 kids. And I've got a foster daughter as well.
And her age?
She is about to be 10 here next month.
Okay, great. So what have you done before Elevate Indianapolis, if it doesn't take too much detail?
Well, I've got my 20s. I have a business degree, and I spent a lot of time in business, and then made the leap into full-time vocational ministry, and I ended up being a senior pastor for about 12 years, community developer here in the Near East Side.
In a church?
Mm-hmm. Yep, started a church downtown Indy.
What church?
Called Indy Metro Church.
Where's it located?
Right now, it's located. We moved to the Near East Side. It's actually in Little Flower neighborhood as well. So where we lived and have lived the last 5 years. So have been community developer, basketball coach, business in the past, and ultimately just have a heart for our city's kids and our community to make our city a better place.
Wonderful. Okay, that gets us, I think, to Elevate Indianapolis. And I notice your mission is to, quote, build long-term, life-changing relationships with Indianapolis urban youth, equipping them to thrive and contribute to their community. So what does all that entail?
Well, we're an education and mentoring nonprofit that works with IPS students. We serve kids in about 20 different zip codes if they attend one of the 5 schools that we serve in. The two most notable high schools, or the schools, would be Arsenal Tech High School in the Near East Side and George Washington in the Near West Side.
Okay.
We provide 24/7, 365 mentoring, both in school and out of school, year-round for the students that we serve.
So could a kid pick up the phone at 1 o'clock in the morning and ask for help on geometry?
Maybe not, but we have the wrong subject. Yeah, well, we do provide, well, occasionally provide tutoring, but generally speaking, for the students that we're serving, we're providing more life skills, maybe crisis engagement. So we might get a call at 1 o'clock in the morning a couple times a year, and it might be for all sorts of just stuff going on at home. Yep, and we help students navigate a lot of the stuff that often makes it difficult for them to be successful in education are usually non-education-related challenges.
Sure.
Food at home, insecurities, challenges at home that we help them overcome.
Okay, so what age group? Are you talking K through 12?
4th through 12th grade.
4th through 12, mm-hmm. Okay. So Did you start Elevate Indianapolis yourself?
I didn't start Elevate. I've been on Elevate. I've been the president and CEO for about 3 years. And prior to that, ran some other programs for about 10 years.
What was the impetus to start Elevate?
Sure.
It was before you got there,
sure.
But can you share that with us?
Well, we're based on a program that started in Denver in 1982. And we're in about a dozen other cities as well. So all big urban environments, New York, Boston, Phoenix, Jacksonville, Orlando, all large urban environments. And ultimately the heart behind all the Elevate affiliates, about a dozen in total, is we see students in our cities, economically disadvantaged kids that live in the most vulnerable zip codes that often have big dreams and big heart and a lot of potential, character and vision, just need somebody to come alongside, often build a bridge so they can help achieve the dreams and outcomes that they want to see in their lives.
How do you identify who these students are or aren't?
Well, we work with the schools. We work with social workers, guidance counselors. Students actually get scheduled into our classes. And so we work closely with principals and vice principals to identify students based on challenges, circumstances at home, or maybe they've shared something with a guidance counselor. And that we want to make sure we're serving kids that again, have a heart to pursue the future, but maybe have just a number of variables that kind of get in the way of the outcomes they want to see and the outcomes ultimately that all of us want to see. We want to see graduation rates in our city increase. We want to see students pursue, as IPS calls, the 3 E's, enrolled, enlisted, or employed. We want to see all of our kids have a plan for the future. And we work with the schools to identify who those kids are and how we can serve them.
About on average, how many kids a year?
Well, this last year we served between 500 and 600.
What would be the total enrollment? That's a small percentage, right?
It would be a total enrollment of each of the schools. So our goal would be at the high schools to serve between 10% and 20% of each of those high schools.
Okay.
We're not a program necessarily designed for the whole. We're really good program designed for kind of that 10% to 20%, knowing that we provide the types of, college and career and adventure programming and camps and then in-school character and soft skills classes that's really good for a portion, knowing that portion has a great influence on the whole.
Do you provide food?
For our students that need it, yep, of course. And okay. During COVID, we provided a lot of food assistance, a lot of economic assistance, food delivery, social-emotional check-ins. So we look at ourselves as a holistic social-emotional mentoring organization that also does a lot of in-class education attributes as well.
It sounds to me like you depend a lot on volunteers.
Well, we depend a lot on our community, that's for certain. We have a staff of about 8 people right now that are all full-time staff.
They're all counselors?
That we call teacher mentors, and so they teach during the school day and mentor after school.
Oh, okay, they are teachers.
They're not licensed teachers, but they're teachers in our model. Yep, we train and
Okay. Equip
them to be teachers. And so if you were to walk by the classroom, you would never guess that they're not licensed certified teachers because they function very much like teachers.
Do they teach in the IPS schools or do they come to you guys? They teach in the IPS schools?
They work directly for us and they're teaching in the IPS schools. So let's say you had a son at Arsenal Tech High School. He wanted to take Elevate. He could take our class. And they'd say first period might be Spanish, and second period Algebra 2, and third period's Elevate. And he actually takes our class during the school day.
So he's in there with several other kids.
Yeah, we'll have up to 30 kids in our classes.
And what are they teaching in that class?
So we have 13 life skills and character attributes that we teach. We also use the 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teens. And so we're working on critical assets for our kids, character attributes like work ethic or respect or vision setting or goal setting. We work on all of those essentials, the same type of things that many of us got at home, but for often the kids that we serve are often single parent homes, moms working 12 hours a day.
Right.
Kids are at school a lot or gone a lot, so we really work on providing them with these essential attributes they need to be successful in life.
Okay, so those courses are taught both at Washington and Tech.
That's right. Right? They're accredited with the state of Indiana, thanks to our partnership with IPS.
Now, I see here in your bullet points, and then we can get this in, and then we'll take our break. Since 2016 at Tech, about 90% of your kids have graduated, and the overall average is in the 65% range.
Yeah, each high school is a different graduation rate every year, obviously, just like all schools. But one of the things we pride ourselves in, every year between 90-95% of our students have graduated from high school every year. And so that's pretty successful for us. We're proud of that.
That'd be successful in most, especially public schools, I would think, especially inner city public schools.
Across the state, we think that's a pretty successful metric. And that's just one of many things we measure in our program.
Okay, well, we're going to be back with Aaron's story of Elevate Indianapolis, working with inner city youth IPS youth, on life skills, and get more into that. But first, we want to talk about thanking the folks that offer us space for our studio at 91.9 FM and tell you about next week's show. The studio is on South Shelby Street in Fountain Square in a building called My Pet Carnivore. My Pet Carnivore is a pet food distribution warehouse where Paul and Suzanne and their very busy staff distribute healthy, frozen, mostly dog and cat food. There's a few other animals involved there, too. To the pet food owners only, not stores, in 48 states, which I find very impressive. You can probably guess the two states they're not in, but someday I think I'll probably be able to say all 50 states, because this stuff must work or they wouldn't be in the 48 states they're in now. Next week, we will have a guest that comes on annually about this time of year. He's my friend Jay Cox, talking about to seniors, mostly about Medicare, because the Medicare sign-up period is fast approaching, but other senior-related issues as well. So tune in next Wednesday at 4:30 for Jay Cox, especially if you're a senior citizen or knows somebody that's about to get on Medicare and is confused about it. Now, back to Aaron's story of Elevate Indianapolis. The life skills part of all... So, is this a credit course at Tech in Washington for college credits?
For high school credits. We have 4 years of accredited courses that we offer, from Intro to Elevate, Elevator, and then Elevate Beyond.
So you could take one each of your 4 years of high school?
Technically, yep. And so students,
a lot of kids do it?
We typically aim at about 2.5 years, because kids have to get other types of electives,
true,
obviously other types of courses. But very normal, they take it 2.5 years. So we see kids over the course of those 4 years, not just in school, but obviously out of school, summer breaks, fall breaks, spring breaks. I mean, we're with students year-round.
Talk about the relationship part of this. Well, before we get to that, don't let me forget that. I'm wondering if those 8 teachers that you have are it, or whether you have, for instance, maybe some counseling people on the side that kids can go to, or how's that work? So the teacher comes to you and says, this kid needs help because his parents are killing each other or something. You know what I mean?
We have a lot of community partners we work with, and I would just say is with community partners, whether it be other nonprofits in the community. So we work closely with Mary Rigg Community Center and Shepherd Community Center and Westminster Community Center, and ultimately community centers or other nonprofits that have other parts of their mission they focus on. So
I've had Shepherd on here before. They do great work.
They do great work.
So
right.
If something, your 8 teachers, if they recognize that this is beyond my, they can come to you and you can connect them to Shepherd or one of these other community
centers.
And
there's counselors we work with. We might refer the family to a counselor, just like whether it be college programming or it be sports. You know, we have relationships with a lot of different entities in the city, and that we do our best to refer students and their families to those entities. Community centers are great advocates ultimately, because they have a wealth of resources right there. So like the Bonner Center on 10th Street, Shepherd farther down Washington. You know, our students live in these neighborhoods, and we want to connect them to those resources.
I remember having Gary Varvel, if you know who Gary
sure.
is, on the show,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking about Shepherd and the graduation rate at Howe among the general students and the graduation rate at Howe among the students that come to Shepherd, and it was like 25% to 90%. You
That's
mentioned
right.
90% in your program. Throw that on top of a Shepherd or a Bonner, and you got some real help there.
We're all better together. Ultimately, we know we work better together with other organizations, and ultimately our kids are served better when we can get them to collaborate with other entities.
Take a bright kid at one of these schools who's doing okay grade-wise, but he needs some help to be able to afford to go to college. How can you help with that?
We typically, for the students in our program, we are typically the resource that's helping families navigate the FAFSA. We are typically the program that all of our kids, the first time they went to a college visit, is all with us. So we do
get that
we do
far
four
into
or five
it.
College visits every year. we're navigating things like personality trait tests, things called Traitify or Strength Finders. We're helping our kids identify, maybe put words to who they are. And then we introduce them to businesses in the area. We do lots of vision trips with area companies.
Do you help kids get part-time jobs if they need them?
We did that over the summer. You know, companies will come to us so we can help provide them a connection to, or job shadowing. So if a kid maybe wants to be an accountant, but they don't really know an accountant, we can help them. Here's an accountant. Here's what it looks like to spend a half day.
Yeah, go to their office and spend.
And then
a half
we'll
day,
take them to Ball State and I'll do a college visit to here's what the accounting or math department looks like here. So, and in addition to processing, you know, maybe you're behind on your credits. Maybe you've got some in-school challenges. So if you want to pursue college, you've really got to get through high school first. And so our staff will navigate all of those things with those students.
I take it, aside from college, you do trade school as well?
Of course.
Plumbers, electricians,
because,
yep. Boy, that's a great way
need.
Not to accumulate debt and so forth, right?
So one of our kids who graduated in 2019 named Chris went through Tech's welding program. He came out within a year. I mean, he's making $50,000 a year.
Welding. I got a nephew that does welding.
He lived in a low-income family that he never saw anybody leave for work. And he had this incredible skill, great kid, ton of potential. He attributes a lot of his success to us. We attribute a lot of his success to his hard work, his work ethic. But knowing that a lot of our kids have the ability, they just need somebody to come alongside, help encourage them along the way.
Yeah, and it's not always college. It could be trade school.
Oh, I mean,
right?
We have the relationship with the Construction Roundtable and other entities, knowing that when a kid asks about other types of trades, you know, obviously in this season, it's the Next Level Jobs Initiatives the state has. There's a lot of resources for kids right now to pursue apprenticeships and those types of opportunities for training.
They just need to know what they are and get connected to them, and that's what you guys do.
90% of our, you know, our kids are unaware completely of the resources available to them.
Okay, how are you guys, raise money to do this?
Well, we live off of individuals and foundations and businesses. None of our services are fee for service, and so everything we do is relational. So could there be foundation grants or be individual donations? We have folks that give $10 a month to folks that give, you know, a lot larger amounts, and it all comes together to make it work.
Are you a United Way agency?
We are not a United Way agency because
by choice.
Well, no, because we've only, you know, we're 4.5 years old and we're literally
pretty
new to the city.
You're too new. Okay.
And so,
do you aspire to be?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think.
You know how long you got to be around?
Well, with the United Way kind of reform, it's opened up opportunities for folks like us to be able to have a pathway in. But that's part of our just building relationships in the city. And just like the Lilies and the Luminas and other larger entities in the city that we're pretty new. And everybody encouraged us to keep.
You got to prove yourself.
You know, we've got to keep at it, which. We're really proud of the metrics and results that we have, but we know it takes a long time to build relationships with those folks.
Do you guys do any fundraisers of your own?
Of course.
Tell us about
those. We do
an
annual Vision Breakfast, which is the first week of November at Meridian Hills Country Club. Now, this year, we'll have to see what that looks like, obviously. We do a May event called Suits and Sneakers, which is celebrate our graduating seniors. We've done that at Marion University. This year, we did it virtually because we wanted to celebrate our students, but knowing that it was a very different kind of season. So we're evaluating what those look like. And, but we still have to, you know, build relationships and share the story of the impact that people believe in and hopefully raise some funds as a result.
To put these events on, you probably need volunteers, right?
We do volunteers, of course. And we have volunteers in our program as well. And we partnerships with volunteers and businesses and individuals. All that's critical.
Give us some contact information for Elevate.
Yeah.
Website.
So our website,
email.
Yep, elevateindy.org. That's a great way to watch some videos, see our history a little bit, see who's on the board. And then our Facebook, obviously, Elevate Indianapolis. That's more real-time information, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. My email is Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at elevateindy.org. We spend a lot of time doing Zoom these days, and so we love to set up a Zoom chat with you and get to know you know what somebody's interests are, and then share a lot of stories of our kids and our program.
Okay, this is all great stuff to know about. This is why we have the Indy's Trusted Servant Show, so you can feel the pulse of Indy. We'll be back with Aaron's
Good
story
in Central Indiana,
Indianapolis.
You're tuned
in just
to
a minute. We want to again thank
FM,
the host
WITT,
for the studio
the
here at 91.9 FM. That is My Pet Carnivore, a pet food distribution warehouse on Shelby Street in Fountain Square, where Paul and Suzanne and their very busy staff distribute healthy, frozen pet food, mainly for dogs and cats. to pet food owners only, not stores, in 48 states. There are trucks in and out of here all the time, unloading and loading. And there's a lot of happy animals out there getting their food from my pet carnivore right here in Indianapolis in 48 states. Next week, our guest will be my friend Jay Cox. Jay is a senior citizens expert, specializing especially this time of year in getting people signed up correctly for Medicare. But there are also a lot of other senior citizens experts that Jay will be glad, expertise that Jay will be glad to share with you next year. Have him on pretty much every year to talk to the seniors. So back to Aaron Stanton, with Elevate Indianapolis. You talked about metrics a lot, and you sent me a couple. I see a whole lot of numbers here with all these metrics. But you said Elevate is really big on metrics. Talk about that.
Well, we love telling stories about our kids, obviously. That's what drives all of us. But we know the community ultimately wants to see impact and results. And so since 1982, all the cities across the country are big on impact and results. And so our staff measure really everything that we do is measured. So we do
give us a couple of examples.
So we measure, and what I shared with you is specifically we do a fall pretest with students and a spring post test. So students take about a 43 question survey in the fall and the same one in the spring, and that gives them, and all that's added together by a third party, so we don't see it. We just give the link in front of them and they take it, and then it gives us an idea what our kids, what's their outlook in our program. What percentage of our kids say they're truthful with teachers or parents? What percentage of our kids talk about maybe potential drugs? What percentage of our kids, you know, share things like how hopeful they are for the future? And so, you know, that's just some of many of which the things that we measure as a program. But in addition to things like graduation rates or on track to graduate rates, we track all that. We work with the school closely, so we know what percentage of our kids are maintaining their credits on time, which really matters to us. And then, you know, the more tangible things, like how does a kid feel about their future right now?
So take a kid that's not keeping up. What do you guys do then?
Yeah, well, first, often we're the ones making them aware they're not up, because our staff are checking what's called Power School and seeing that, hey, last semester you didn't pass all your classes, and now you're a semester, maybe you're two classes behind to be on track to graduate. So we'll have those conversations with them. We'll get into the why, which is often more important than, you know, the what. Why? Well, here's what's happened. We had to move three times in the last semester. And so now I have an entirely different bus route, and I missed the bus for a week because I didn't know what the bus route was going to be. And maybe there's not food at home, or I don't have a belt, so I'm embarrassed to be at school. A lot of personal things that only come up in the context of those safe relationships with our staff, because we're big on relationship. And then we'll work through, how do we remedy that? And if we can't, who do we know?
This is going to sound like I live in Carmel, okay? Kids have actually said, I don't have a belt.
We have kids with all sorts of barriers, and if there's things that get in the way,
terrible.
Pretty common. Pretty common. That's a pretty normal reality. Could be belt. Could be clean undergarments.
Could be shoes, I suppose.
Clean undergarments, shoes, physical needs that get in the way of educational needs. For most of the students that we serve that maybe are behind on all sorts of, you know, academic outcomes, 90% of those barriers have nothing to do with the academics. It all goes back to, could be physical needs or challenges. We ask about a kid writing an essay at home. There's no computer at home. There may be no wireless at home. There may be, you know, and so there's a lot of things. Again, that is not the kid's, you know, that's not the kid's choice. You know, but if they're, so when COVID hits and if kids aren't at school, maybe there's food insecurity. And there's no internet activity, which is about normal for 30-35% of our kids, plus or minus. So those are the kind of things that maybe we can't fix as an organization, but we can identify. We can help identify solutions for them, and then we can walk with kids.
You go to some of these other organizations to get help, go back to the school and so forth. How has COVID impacted? Obviously, the kids weren't in school. Has that made your job tougher?
Mission
tougher? Yeah.
Yeah, so our staff during COVID spent a lot of time driving to students' houses, just one-to-one, finding students' houses, checking in on them, how are you doing, how are you feeling. The emotional impact of COVID for the students that we serve was very traumatic.
And these kids that don't have computers at home, no way they can do their schoolwork.
So we spent time delivering. We had college and career goals. We spent time delivering iPads and computers to our core, especially our upperclassmen, very early on in COVID. By mid-March, we were delivering iPads and computers so our kids could fulfill the types of college and career goals that they need to fulfill to stay on track.
Now, the computers you delivered, where do you get the money for those?
People are very generous and they donate, and that allows us to have, you know, iPads and computers on track to share with our kids. And then obviously by middle of April, end of April, IPS was delivering. So by middle of April, most IPS kids that had access were able to receive a computer or an iPad or something. But in the meantime, we were covering those gaps with our kids.
It took some time to get
I mean, IPS serves 30,000 kids. It's a massive undertaking.
Yeah. Yeah. So. You know, I've got grandkids that, you know, they're doing the e-learning.
Yeah.
You don't think about the kids that don't have the computers unless you really think about it, right?
Kids are sharing devices. They're sharing internet. They could be trying to do it on a phone. They could have to leave to go get food during the day or try to find food access. And so a lot of barriers get in the way of a kid jumping on a Zoom class for his, you know, Algebra 2 or something.
Right. So we've talked heavily about Washington and Tech. What about Attucks, Manual, and whoever else is out there?
Yeah,
who takes care of those kids?
Well, there's other organizations, obviously, that serve in those facilities. I mean, we're not in any other high schools. We serve 4th through 8th graders and Matchbook on the Near West Side, and then on the Near East Side, School 74 and Harshman. But, our goal long-term would be to build it
to Attucks. Into these other schools, yeah.
Attucks and Shortridge, specifically the IPS high schools, and then potentially other high schools like Purdue Poly and some of these more what are considered innovation schools. Ultimately, we want to be where there's the greatest need.
I mean, but I would think Purdue Poly doesn't have the same need that Washington and Tech do, right?
Not the same as Washington or Tech. Purdue Poly is a pretty heavily urban high school as well.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. But obviously, when you have schools like Tech, I mean, Tech's 2,500 students, you know, large, 105-year-old, you know, high school. So a lot of history there. And in this season, you know, for many of the kids that we serve, there's a lot of need in those situations. But with so much potential and so much opportunity, we know that every investment in those students is a great investment because they've got a great future if they can have some support.
You weren't around at the beginning, but do you know how easy it was to get into the schools?
Well, at the time when we started, there's, you know, it really comes down to relationships. The principal and Dr. Farabee actually was the superintendent at the time. He actually flew to Orlando to see our program
Watch
in Orlando.
Watch that happen, yeah. I like
so
Dr. Farabee.
He flew to Orlando, saw our program down there, and actually helped make it possible for us. And at the time, Miss Bacorn was the principal at Tech. So those two people and some others made it feasible for us to launch. And then since then, we've got a lot of great support.
Once you got into a school or two, it was easy to get into the others.
We provide very unique services and very unique year-round support. And obviously, IPS makes it all possible for us to be there.
Well, we got about a minute left. What else do you want to add? And you want to give contact information. Again, you might want to remind people about the fundraisers as well.
Yeah, maintain contact with us, elevateindy.org. Find us on social media, all the social media outlets. My email, Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at elevateindy.org. That's the best way. We love to say in Elevate, no one gets their loan. That's why we show up. And what we know is we can't show up if the community doesn't show up to support us.
And while we don't have it definitely outlined yet what those fundraisers are going to be, mention the dates. So people can get
first,
on the website.
First week in November, our Vision Breakfast at Meridian Hills will probably be some kind of combination of Zoom or virtual. And then we do every other month, we do some type of event, whether it be an engagement, volunteer event, virtual event. There's always ways to engage with us. That hasn't changed during COVID. There's lots of ways to support kids in this city. We're just one of those partners that supports great kids.
Okay. Aaron Stanton, Elevate Indianapolis, thanks for the great work you're doing with inner city youth in the public school system, and thanks for being on the Indy's Trusted Servant Show.
Thanks, Danny. Appreciate your work.
Next week, Jay Cox, senior citizens expert, and don't forget Indiana Nocturne and the DJ Lucky Mena Show coming up at 7 p.m. tonight. We'll see you all next week on the Indy's Trusted Servant Show.